Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, men's rights attorney and potential reality show star Marilyn York for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program men's rights attorney Marilyn York. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be here.
I have to start with an update on your TV show, which you are working on for Bravo. Where are we? When are we going to see it? What's going on?
I'm not in charge, so we'll have to just see what they're up to. Right now, they are editing, trying to make me funny, I think. So they filmed for 4 days straight, roughly 12 hours a day, and they have to edit it into a 22-minute pilot for the actual network. And so we're going to have to see what comes of it. And then I apparently have to ride the roller coaster.
So now, are you in it? Are somebody playing you?
No, this is a reality show. So it's all me and my family and my kids and my workplace and my girls and some clients and my dad. So my dog has a lot of airtime.
Your dad, Ray, is in
this? Yes. Ray had quite a bit of airtime. Yes. He was in it. They got him on a good week. He had lots of animal analogies to share. They kept asking me, why does your dad always reference animals? I'm like, he grew up in a slaughterhouse. It makes your brain not normal. Like, it's not normal.
Well, knowing your dad as I do, it's where you get your sense of humor from. And he can be a very funny guy. So it is actually, in terms of reality, a lot of reality shows aren't reality. They're very scripted. Is this more off the cuff?
There is no scripting. This channel, I'm told, does not script, period. There was no manipulation other than they'll occasionally direct you like, hey, go in the kitchen, talk to your office girls about not work. That's it. You know, occasionally they'll hold up a cell phone and, you know, instruct you, go this direction or 5 minutes, cut it short, you know, those sort of things. Otherwise, no.
All
it's
right,
very so free flow.
You've been around broadcasting now a long time. Amazingly.
Yeah. Indirectly, yes. Not like you.
No, but I mean, you had your own radio show for a long time, and you've become quite adept at this. What do you think of the process so far? Are you happy with it? Are you comfortable with the lack of control?
I thought it was very easy, which is weird to say, because I'm not an actress. When I was growing up, I never did acting. I did debate and speech like a nerd. Never have I done even one play as a child. And this wasn't acting, but it's sort of directed. Like I said, hey, we're going to do a consultation. We're going to film you, you know, make sure you do da da da. And you only have 30 minutes, that kind of thing. And so, and then they interrupt you with an instruction, like, go this way, be done here, ask them this once in a while. But it was really natural, probably for the attorneys most of all, because it feels very much like court. So strangely, preparing yourself for reality, you need to go to court a lot, because we get interrupted by judges constantly and redirected, and we have to be genuine and effective and persuasive in that you know, newly staged context. So it was really natural. The production company commented about how we came off really natural, and typically it takes till the third season for them to be able to interrupt someone midstream and have it sound natural and not look like they interrupted them. So it was fun for us. Like I said, it's a comedy, which is great, because any drama that broke out, and some did, mostly my husband and best friend, and they stopped it and redirected us. They were like, walk it off. This is a comedy. And well, thank God. I was super concerned they were going to have us throwing chairs and Real Housewives in it. And I have no interest in that. That isn't my personality. Certainly, I have an occasion where I throw a binder, but suffice it to say, I'm not interested in the dark side of, you know, the emotions of this career. That's too obvious when it's divorced. So it was great.
All right. So when do you think that the pilot is going to be ready?
I have no idea. This is an internal pilot. They may future try to air some portion of it, but right now it's for their own purposes to make sure we have enough diversity in my life, essentially, to sustain a full TV show, and that, you know, we're good on camera and that the concept clicks. They're trying to figure out the best way to conceptualize the show, because they do try to have sort of a message or purpose in the background of reality. News to me, because I've seen it and didn't think there was any purpose, but hey. So they said, you know, the channel could say no, the channel could say yes, they could say no and then change their mind, they could say yes, film and never air. Like, apparently it's just completely up in the air at this point, and they're the boss of me.
How different is this from what you thought it was going to be?
It was much more fun than I thought it would be. And I don't overthink anything as much as some people in the world do. I just say yes to any adventure that is presented to me. It gets me into trouble for husbands later. But it's also just the way I live. And so when somebody said, you want to pitch this? At first I said, no, we'll just pitch scripted work. And then I said, why not? It's one in a million. Apparently that's the actual statistical chance of being on a reality show on air. So I'm like, well, that's never going to happen. So let's just go along for the ride. So I didn't think about it. But once they were coming here, I thought, oh, this is going to feel really weird and unnatural. They literally were in my house at 6 a.m. filming when I woke up with like a camera in my face, which I thought would be weird. It should be weird. It wasn't really that weird, which is weird. Like, they're really close to me while I'm not wearing any makeup, and I could care less. I'm totally not one of those girls that thinks I'm pretty and has to be pretty. So lucky me, because they were right there, I'm sure, in my fuzzy pink robe with holes in it. I'm like, looking good. So it was much more natural. I think doing commercials helped, though, because commercials start and stop a lot, and they're like, and go, and sound better, and more energy. And you're like, I have no energy. I am tired. So it was somewhat like that, where there's a lot of stop and go, more go than stop. There was no, I barely ate those 4 days. Like, I had to pee on, like, you know, whatever we sound. They're listening to me. There's 16 people listening to me pee. Yeah, no, really. Because I'm wearing the mic all the time. It's taped to some part of my body that I couldn't possibly get off. So they're like, no, we're just going to not listen. I'm like, but not that they want to listen, but they can't help it. There's 16 people with headsets listening to everything. So, and I'd forget that. So my dad would pull me aside like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And they're like, no, you're not allowed to do this in advance. I'm like, oh, dad, they're always listening. Like, I forgot to warn you. So I was always getting in trouble because they're always listening.
So at this point, it's just wait and see.
It's wait and see. And, you know, it was a lot more fun for the staff. Not all of my staff participated. It was up to them if they wished to. And all but two did. And I think they overall enjoyed the experience. My kids were certainly into the experience more after the fact. And they gave me that caveat. They said, wait till we leave. Don't discuss your experience for at least 2 weeks. Let it settle in and then you'll miss us. But if you talk about it right away, people are exhausted and they have mixed emotions. And sure enough, you know, welcome to my dog. Sure enough, we waited and my kids definitely, you know, brightened up and said that they enjoyed it. But I mean, it's kind of weird and you have to worry about what it's like to be a kid growing up with your life micro analyzed, because they certainly wanted us to have deep conversations with my kids on camera, which are pretty revealing and invasive.
Did any of that concern you?
I don't overthink. It should concern me if I was smart and thought about it. But as long as my kids were comfortable, and they were and were not, so, you know, we can curb it in the future depending on their comfort level. It'd be nice to see it. The way the contract states is we probably won't see it because they want to protect it to never be disseminated. So I don't know if I'll ever see it. and then we'll have to, you know, go from there. But they do have full editing power. I mean, that's a scary thing, to sign a contract that's like, we can make you look like a psycho. I'm like, I can make me look like a psycho.
I don't need you.
So, I mean, some of the people on the show are worried. My husband's worried about that. I'm not as worried as my attorneys, because I do have attorneys involved, say. They're like, why would they like screw you over like that? They're going to air you and make you look awful when you're the star of the show. Then they don't have a next season because you're pissed off. It's not like a game show where you're one character. This show's about me. So in theory, they're going to try to keep me happy in the sense of showing all my sides. I'm really not sensitive to looking like a jerk. It's just I have more to offer than just being a jerk. So I'm fine if they show that. But I think they need to show all the different dimensions that this job and life requires.
Well, and I think that your personality is such that even if the end product was something you didn't like, you'd be fine. You just move on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't think it'll hurt my career. I think that it's interesting enough. It kind of feels like I'm selling out, but then I didn't care about that either. I'm like, so?
Why am I selling out?
Because it's reality TV. It's got a certain negative connotation. It does for me. I don't watch it. It drives me nuts. I mean, there's certain shows that I find far more interesting, like the Bravo shows, Top Chef and all those. The Food Network ones, those are far more up my alley than like the Real Housewives. I'm not into drama. I like to say we have no drama about dramatic things like divorce. And those shows make drama about nothing, like going to the grocery store. That is the opposite of what we do and who we are. But I think there's room in the industry for genuine dimension in reality. And I think this show will give that to them. So if the world's ready, if the network's ready, I think that this can actually bring some integrity back to reality, some dimension. Mention some real soul, some real life, some true humor in a dark way that I think is cathartic and healthy for people when they're going through this. I mean, 48% of marriages end in divorce. So it affects so many families, even those that didn't get divorced, their kids do. So every family has been touched by some sort of divorce, separation, out of wedlock, baby making fights, you know. So I feel like this really can resonate in the American household.
More with Marilyn York when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with attorney Marilyn York. She's the men's rights attorney. I wanted to ask you about what you think of where we are with the Me Too movement at this point in time. Has it jumped the shark, or is it really just the beginning of a major change in the way that American society is going to operate?
I think the change was necessary. I think this is certainly the beginning of the change. I don't love the movement, to be honest, but I love the message.
I love the movement.
It's just watered down, and a bunch of dorks are jumping on the bandwagon, Me Too and all over, and it's a meaningless statement, and they don't give any depth to the Me Too. Like, what does it actually mean? What did you actually experience? You know, what are we not tolerating? And I think what we need to start with is the extreme and work on that first, and the Me Too isn't the extreme. I mean, and that's just getting traction, and I get it, but it has no effect for me. In fact, it's become a joke already. And I mean, most people joke about it. Everyone that touches you is like, me too. So it's kind of funny, but I do think that it is having the effect on the top end, meaning the Hollywood world, the political world, as far as men behaving horribly. And I don't mean badly. I'm talking about roofing people and raping them. It's been tolerated way too long, and it's disgusting, and it needs to stop. And if this is how people get attention to it, then great. I'm just glad that something's finally changing. And it's not all men doing it. Of course, some women do too, or men on men. But, you know, it's the older generation exploiting the younger generation, trying to come into the political workforce and the Hollywood industry. It's really sad. That being said, it's also emphasizing people's weakness or lack of skill set to deal with that scenario. I certainly had my share. I was 22 when I became an attorney in Los Angeles. You think I didn't get kissed on the mouth openly by attorneys all day long and smacked on the butt and called tramp and broad was my nickname at work by my boss. I didn't Me Too it on Facebook. I just dealt with it. It wasn't actually traumatic for me. It was just, I was actually kind of funny. And people thought I was sleeping with him. He was 67 and I was 22. And they'd say, I can't believe you're sleeping with Norm. I'm like, no, God, no. He just thinks he's funny. So to correct it all the time, but I learned how to adapt. I represent men. I mean, my God, we get harassed every 5 minutes and it's hilarious. They typically don't mean ill will. They're just different creatures and we just adapt here in our workplace. I have 10 females representing all men when they're newly single. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster and yet we don't have any major problems here. Almost never have we had any situations where we're actually uncomfortable and can't adapt and get around and, you know, set boundaries without stepping on anyone's ego and making them feel like we're judging them or that they aren't welcome to be themselves finally after 30 years of oppression in a marriage. I mean, I don't want to be that person either, slapping hands and being mean when they've already been henpecked for 30 years. So it's a tough place to navigate. And it'd be nice if we had some way to educate in the educational system to teach people how to behave, how not to offend, but not go overboard. I mean, certainly people should be able to give compliments physically, mentally, whatever they're into without feeling like they can't say anything anymore. So somewhere in the middle, and I think this movement will get us closer to that, you know, and if we ignore the watered down version of it, we'll still get there. So it's worthwhile. Certainly I haven't hashtag Me Too'd on my Facebook and I won't, but those that do, I take notice and I think about it. And then of course, all the horrific stories coming out, I'm glad they're coming out. I'm sad if they're made up because certainly that's happening to really important people that didn't deserve it. And the people that are saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't behaving perfectly, bless them. I mean, I have so much respect for them, particularly when it's not this horrific, you know, rape story where it's just like inappropriate. I thought they were into it. They're not. You know, I'm sad to see careers being ruined right now and lives being wrecked. I think we're going to see like some suicides over it, to be perfectly honest, which is horrific. That cannot be undone. But
what about the other side? And I'm not defending any of this.
Sure.
But what about, you know, the real life scenarios that we all go through, you know, in our early years in school, our teen years, where things happen? They also toughen you up. They also make you deal with the realities of life. If you're going to get into a field like being, for example, I could never be an attorney because I do not have the personality to go attack people and look for.
That's not a bad trait, Sam. Good for you.
I understand that.
No, it's good.
But I mean, you know, you need to be toughened up in everybody in their own way. And, you know, it seems like this is another area where we're just pushing back so hard. Do you think that the pendulum swings back to the middle eventually? But how
I
long
sure
does
hope
it take?
So. No, we've all become oversensitive. We are certainly the oversensitive society. It's been like that for a couple years. You know, the trend to be PC again and, you know, snowflakes, blah, 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 all the terms. It is a real problem. And that's one of the reasons why this reality show timing is funny, because I am anything but PC. And
what?
So I wonder if the world's ready. I wonder if the network's ready because, you know, there's a risk associated with my mouth that, you know, some people don't handle well and maybe they like it, but it's also interesting, the timing, because that's one of the endearing qualities about me, according to others, is that I am genuine, that there is no, you know, facade, and that comes with offense and good and bad, but you know what I'm thinking all the time. And I think we need more of that. I think people are too sensitive. They can't laugh at themselves anymore. They take everything seriously. Then they want to come back and get revenge or sue and get a settlement, and that needs to stop. And so I think if we just let the wolves loose like we are in this Me Too movement, people will get tired of watching everyone be eaten, I hope, and take it back a notch, because I agree it needs to come back to the middle, but we need to clear out that top end of predators. And this hopefully does that without mobilizing the low end of the victim pool. I can't stand the victim pool where they're constantly yammering about being victims. That's too much too. So let's clear the bottom and the top, shall we?
More with Marilyn York when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with men's rights attorney Marilyn York. I always like to take a test of the economy with you. How's our economy doing in terms of people and their divorces?
You know, it seems to be on the upswing, and I'm pleased to see the commercial real estate world is picking up finally, because the residential world was pretty hot for a while and still is. And that's trickling up as well. I have my own house and I listed it and it sold in 2 days for the ask price, which was $875,000, which is on the higher end as far as our housing market. So that's great to see. It makes me homeless, which sucks, but it's a high class problem.
You can stay at our house. It's
okay. Oh, we got a spare room. So sweet. Bring me and my kids and my
dog. Dogs.
Yeah. Welcome. So I do think it's looking better. I'm really happy to see our clients making more money and their incomes are up. And, you know, the women that have been out of the workforce are able to go back into it and get jobs again faster than we had seen in the down market. So I think it's a lot healthier for people. It is not making marriages last more. That's what it's not doing, as usual, but I didn't expect it to. But it is nice to see them recovering in divorce better, faster. Kids are coming out better. They can go to counseling again because they can afford it. That's a really sad thing to see when people are breaking up and they can't afford the resources to actually support the family and the emotional way they need. So
what do you think about now that we have legal marijuana? We've got about a minute left. You know, we've talked about this before in terms of your courtroom cases. How's it affecting it now that it's legal in the state?
It is very confusing. And I think that police officers have the same problem. The difference between an alcohol test and a marijuana test, as far as I know, is you can't tell how recently they smoked it. Whereas with alcohol, you can check the metabolites and say, oh, you're drunk right now by legal standard. Now, of course, everyone drinking disagrees that they are not drunk. So you have to say, are you going to blow the legal limit? So it poses a problem because it's not illegal to smoke marijuana. And when that fine line existed, it was easy to say you don't get to smoke marijuana when you have kids. Well, now I don't know if you're high when you have your kids or not. You're allowed to be drunk when you have kids, but you can't drive them. But you can sit in your home and be drunk with kids, assuming you can actually caretake for them, you know, to whatever level they require. So it makes it really hard to figure out. And then the next problem is if they have federal jobs, such as firefighters or policemen, they cannot smoke marijuana because the federal law, of course, is quite clear. So in those cases, the court quickly says you are not allowed to smoke. And that's easy. It's the other gray areas where it's a really big question. And it's always been a question. Take prescription meds. You know, lots of people need them because they have back trouble or chronic pain, or they're liars and they're addicts, whatevs. But the court says, yeah, you have a prescription, but that doesn't make you a good parent. You don't get to Percocet all day long and say, I'm a great mom. I'm going to drive my kid to school now. You're not actually allowed to drive on Percocet. So it's an issue. Similarly, marijuana. It may be legal, but you don't get to smoke out in the car with your kid, hotbox them, and drive them to Roy Gom. So you have to use discretion. It's best interest of the child. The courts are pretty smart about this, but measuring it is the big issue. Like, when did you last smoke? I mean, THC stays in your urine for like 3 weeks and in your hair for months.
Well, hopefully now universities will be allowed to do the research that will come up with a plan that we can follow, because the federal government had banned that forever. And now the states at least have a chance to do something.
We Marilyn, need to.
Yes. Marilyn York, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
See you soon. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast from Brookings West, Robert Lang will see you on the next broadcast.